Praise the Lord. Let's sing one song from our hymn book before we sit down. Then I will preach. I'm rejoicing night and day. 139. Because the Comforter abides. The Comforter abides.
Hallelujah.
night and day, as I walk the narrow way. Lord, it's comfort, abide. Say it. Oh, he abides. Rejoicing night and day, as I walk the narrow way, the comforter abides. Your hand, your hand, your hand. Are you rejoicing? Sister, sister, he let me hear the brothers now. Hear my brothers. Everybody now. Hey, he abides. Everybody.
He abides. He abides. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He abides.
And he joins in night and day. The waters are
as I walk the narrow
road. The comfort
that I comfort. God bless you. Be seated. He abides. Surely he abides. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If Satan does not get you, it is because you are already in his pocket. If it's no more following you, you have to catch that. I believe it. Because once you are a Christian, you are a target of the enemy. Satan is telling you that heaven you will go because you have received eternal life, Abby. But before you go on earth here, I will make it rough for you. And the only weapon to stop him from making it rough for us is prayer. Nothing more. It's prayer. And there is no alternative to prayer. Nothing like I have been praying, nothing has happened. So what else will you do? What else will you do? That's why I said there is no alternative to prayer. So the only thing is keep praying. If God doesn't answer today, he will answer tomorrow. That is what keeps us going. Praise the Lord. And tell your neighbor, we are worshiping a God that answers prayers. Yes, yes. Have that confidence. Praise the Lord. Don't let anything discourage you from praying. Don't let anything discourage you from praying. Anytime you determine to do any spiritual exercise, amen, The devil will make sure, if it is an exercise that will help your spiritual life, that has any benefit in it, Satan will start immediately to fight it. So if you determine it and you see yourself successfully finishing it, you have overcome. Let the overcomers clap their hands now. Overcomers. We are overcomers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those of you watching us from around the world, can we just greet them? All around the world, wherever in Africa, in India, Asia, Europe, America, Canada, Japan, wherever. Shalom to the bride of Christ. Okay, praise the Lord. We should open our Bibles. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. We are in a season where we call our attention to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is something that William Branham said, and please, there are some people that don't like us mentioning the name of William Branham. You must mention the name of your teacher, so that everybody will know who taught you what you are saying. Yes. Amen. If you heard it from me, then I expect you to give me credit too for it. Anywhere you are mentioning what I said, you should say, Pastor Moses said this. Because from me you heard it. Me, I heard it from William Branham. So I will not say it as if I am the one saying it. I like to give credit to whosoever I heard it from. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, William Branham said something. I'm going along with my exhortation. He said that he has gone to programs among Pentecostal settings where, when after preaching, he asked the people to come forward and receive the Holy Ghost and receive eternal life. And then they will come to the altar, and then the pastors that join him will be praying for them, and they will be telling them to speak in tongues, to speak in tongues, while he said they should come and receive eternal life. While they should come and receive the Holy Ghost. They are busy telling them to speak in tongues, to speak in tongues, to speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. Because they misunderstand what the Holy Ghost is for, and who he is and what he is not. And there was another time again that the same William Branham was at the altar, and he made an altar call. And then he was telling them about the Holy Ghost in the meeting he went somewhere. And a woman knelt down at the altar, and suddenly she started speaking in tongues. And after she finished speaking in tongues, she just felt, oh. Then she stood up, she was going back to her seat, believing that she has received. And William Branham saw it in the spirit and shouted, "Sister, come back and kneel down. You haven't received him yet." But she was speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. So, what is the Holy Ghost? It's so important, amen, that we know it. What is the Holy Ghost? Church, listen. This is very important. You have to trace the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to trace it first to the cross on Calvary. Did Jesus Christ go to the cross so that we shall speak in tongues?
Did Jesus Christ go to the cross so that we shall cast out devils? Do deliverance? Did he go to the cross so that we shall receive healing? Now, that is where you will understand what we're talking about. There was something that was lacking, missing among mankind. God, amen, God separated from man. The reason Jesus Christ went to the cross was to reconcile us back to God. Amen. The nature of man was tampered with. From the Garden of Eden, our nature was tampered with man until we are reduced to an estate where God could no longer control man. It was now Satan that was in full control. Satan dropped something among our nature so that at any time at all he needed to do anything, he would just come and anoint that thing that is inside of us and make us act at his will. That was the problem. God sent Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary to do something that will bring us back to what he had intended it to be in the Garden of Eden. To place us in a position where we can relate again with him and be reconciled back to him again. And make us live a life that will be pleasing before him. To do something in us that will remove that thing that Satan normally anoints and makes us act like animals. That is the reason he went to the cross on Calvary. All others, praise the Lord, all others, they are secondary reasons, secondary benefits. Healing is a secondary benefit. Deliverance is a secondary benefit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We were alienated from God. What is the meaning of redemption? You cannot talk of redeem. You cannot redeem anything unless it is originally your own. Then you lost it. That is the meaning of redeem. Redeem is to buy back something that was yours originally, but you lost it. That is the meaning of redeem. Redeem is buy back what was your own that you lost. Amen. That's why we have the law of redemption. One of it is the kinsman redeemer. You must be related to the person to be redeemed. Amen. We belong to God. Amen. From the Garden of Eden, we belong to him. But because he works by laws and principles, under another law that Satan hijacked. Amen. He lost us to Satan. Amen. So, we belong to Satan. All man can belong to Satan. That's why Satan could take Jesus Christ to the pinnacle there, on top of the mountain and say, look at the whole world, look at all the kingdom, they belong to me. It was not an empty boast. They belong to him. He is known as the prince of this world. He is the owner of this world now. Principalities and powers. Ruling the affairs of man. He determines where there can be bloodshed anywhere at any time. He determines where he wants to go and sell confusion. He determines it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? By that law, he took over control. But for God to take over control, there is also a law for him to follow. Hallelujah. And that love was ignited through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary to bring us back to Him. That is why John chapter 1 verse 11, he said, verse 10 says, He came to His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this evening, we are looking at the topic I titled The Hope of Glory. The Hope of Glory. I told you people made mention of it on Sunday or Sunday or Tuesday during the week. A statement I made. I said, a lot of human beings, man generally, in our approach towards life, we all appear very, very myopic. All our plans are short-term plans. Short-term plans, especially we here in Africa. And I'm talking to majorly Africans. That is also what has even affected our development. Affected our development. The average people in the West there, the Oyibo people, when they are planning, they are looking at their great-grandchildren that are coming. Whatever they do, they are not thinking just of themselves now. They are thinking of the generation that will be coming behind them to enjoy it. They plan for them. We, our own, only. It's a serious problem we have in Africa. Serious one. I'm telling you, very serious one. That's affected development generally. Generally. All those who are stealing money now and sending their children abroad, they have forgotten that wherever you are, outside of your place of origin, you will remain a stranger. No matter how much you have, in fact, the richer you are in the Western world as a stranger, the more the laws follow you as a stranger. And people don't know it. All of you rich men, you steal all the money and take them and keep them abroad. Send your families there. You see? Amen. Every one of us, man generally, you keep planning for to live comfortably here on earth. And the worst is, you will see somebody that is 70 years, 80 years old. He is still grabbing money, looking for grabbing money, and hallelujah. As if life ends with this present setting. See, there is life after this life. There is life after this, our life, this life. That's what I mean by saying a lot of us are short-sighted in our plans for life. There is life after here. When the Bible says, every one of us shall give account of himself. The account you will give is not why you are alive like this. It is after you have died. For it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what? Judgment. One of these days, every one of us will stand before our Maker. And you will give account of how you live your life here on earth. Here. Amen. Not too many people sit down and think like that. Now, Don't misunderstand me. You must look for what to eat here. I believe that, you know, it's not a luxury that a man has his own house. It's not a luxury that you can afford to give the best educational training for your children. It is not a luxury that, you know, the basic necessities of life, we must have it, and that if you cannot have it, then something is wrong. And we should do everything lawfully possible to be comfortable on earth here. But I'm saying, with the same zeal and effort, with the same with all the time you use, all the efforts you exert in acquiring things here, wake up in the morning, 5 a.m. You don't come back home till 11:30 p.m. To sleep 2 hours, 3 hours, take off again, you are up again. What are you doing? You're looking for money. No problem. With the same zeal also, look for what must I do to have eternal life. Look for what you must do to have eternal life, and pursue and make sure you have that thing, or you do that thing, so that after I am dead here, I can enjoy the life hereafter. That makes you wise. Anything short of that, you are foolish. You will regret it. For what shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. You are foolish. Not too many people have known that life is more serious than we see it. Somebody therefore asked me, during your question and answer, if somebody die, assuming armed robber meet you and shoot you and you die, the impression from the question is like, since you didn't kill yourself and it was like untimely death, it is somebody that killed you, so your sin should be upon the person. So what will happen to the person? So you want me to say yes? When you die, finish, you wake up at the other side of the river, and then you meet with God. Yes, what happened? Then you say, ah, I will not die, yo. It's hired assassin that killed me. It's one yeye drunken driver, that one useless driving accident kill us. It's somebody that poisoned me. And they go separate fight. And then they hit me for head. I die. Oh, then the angel will say, all your sins, therefore, we put it on the person that kill you. You go enter heaven. That's what the person was expecting me to answer. It's nothing like that, oh. Hallelujah. How you die, by which means you die, does not matter before God, though. Whether you commit suicide, did you prepare for death? Did you know how you will die? Did you prepare for it? Amen. Hallelujah. So, these are some of the questions that especially old people, you know, who know that now, anytime from now, I can die. You know, old age sickness will soon come, and whatever it is. Or those that death normally give them death notice. There are some people that have death notice. When you have deadly sickness that is incurable, not be notice of death with that. It's true now. Amen. Except God steps in, cancer is death notice. Except death steps in, kidney problem is death notice. Oh yes, science now has it, there's kidney transplant. How long more will you live with patch patch? How long more? They will just be patching it. You know, it's just a matter of time. There are sicknesses we have that you know it is death notice. And when we expect those people to be closer to God, or closer to godliness in their lifestyle, you still see some of them not even remembering God in their affair. You see? So how you will die, which way you die does not matter. But at the point of your death, what was your relationship with God before you died? Before they killed you? Before that accident, before that sickness came, what was your relationship with God? That is what we count when we live here.